Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir. Start the show, America.
Let's do it.
Right here. Yes, sir.
Let's do it.
Brand new month. August is upon us. We are celebrating the first day of the month. A lot of things jumping to talking sports for the 12th man. As always, I'm your host, Andre Peterson, joined by some incredible co-hosts as well. I don't have any good jokes for them. I wouldn't trade you guys for anything, man. How about that, man? A lot of love. but there's been a lot of movement happening, so we're going to get right into it. But before we do so, let's check in with the co-host, Mr. JQ. How you feeling this evening, sir?
I'm good, man. I'm hanging in there. You talked about hitting August. I'm 10 days away from my 39th birthday. Lord have mercy.
Oh man, happy birthday, dude. Sir. Yeah, we'll show you some love, man.
Yeah, happy
That's
birthday,
what's up, man.
Oh, I mean, I still got a little bit. Don't rush it yet. I got 10 days, so you know, I'm gonna hold on to 38 for 10 more days.
dude, that's awesome, man. August is a big month for us, too, man. Anniversary for me, wifey's birthday, my dad's birthday. Like August is like everything happening, man. So I'm right there with you, too, man. So
there you go.
That's what's up, man.
Yeah.
Man,
same for
August
me. My daughter's birthday is coming up next week, and mother-in-law and father-in-law, too. So, yeah, a lot of birthdays going around, a lot of love.
Leo's in the house.
Really
stand up.
That's right. So you'll love that, too, JQ. That's what the wifey is, too, man. So a lot of love. All right, so let's kick it out. We got the JQ cover. What about Rob? How you feel this evening, Rob?
Man, anytime you get some chicken and andouille gumbo in your system and a glass of wine with some potato-crusted snapper, your brother feeling good right now.
You know what?
That's why you gotta do all that CrossFit.
What'd you say?
That's why you gotta do all that CrossFit.
Oh man.
That sounds good, though.
In a nutshell, the brother's feeling good right now.
Yes, sir. That sounds great.
Oh, man. Without further ado, I'm going to try to steer it towards the show because, because Rob didn't share it like all the time. He never shared it with us, but it's all good.
You got to come to know him. I got an open invitation.
We'll talk about that. That's happened. Let's throw out the numbers as always. Let's get the show started. The number to call into the show is always at 424-243-9519. We are also on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And last but not least, go to facebook.com/talkingsports, the 12th man, or if you type in 12th man sports, you will find us in that format as well. Gentlemen, let's kick this right off the bat, man. We got a lot of things happening right off the cuff. We're going to talk about the Major League Baseball trade deadline. I don't think there were a lot of big names that were moving, if you will. So I don't know, Rob, you're going to kind of touch base on that. JQ, stay tuned, man. You're going to be right after him, too. So I don't know if you want to talk about anything or your teams or what you were hoping for or anything to that effect, because I'm sure we're going to talk about the worst trade in history. But go ahead, Rob, and get started off with that, sir.
Well, I mean, there's quite a bit of movement. I'll just go over a couple of winners real quick. The Texas Rangers, I mean, they're really going for it in the American League right now. Obviously, they're first place in the American League West. They have the second-best record in the American League behind the Indians. Obviously, going out and add some power to their lineup, getting Jonathan LaCroix and also Carlos Beltran from the Yankees. Yankees, I tell you what, they're in the fire sale mode. It's very unusual for a team. They usually be in the buyers.
But they're
doing the selling right now. But you can also make a case that the Yankees are a winner. I mean, I think they gave up a lot of players, but look how many top 50 and top 75 prospects they've gotten in return with some of these trades. And then in 2 years from now, when the big free agency class opens up, the Yankees will be big spenders again and hopes that some of these prospects turns out to be some really good players for them. So I'm even going to put them in the winners category, even though they won't see the results this coming season. You got to include the San Diego Padres. Obviously, they're in a tough division with the Dodgers and the Giants. It looked like both of those teams are headed to the playoffs, but the Padres are trying to make a run here as well. They sent Luis Castillo back to the Marlins for Colin Rea, and also they sent Jason Shields trade with the Chicago White Sox as well. And then also you got to include the Cleveland Indians. They tried to get LaCroix, but they failed, but they get Andrew Miller, a pitcher that's going to come in and help them. And I'm looking at a Cleveland, Texas American League Championship Series. Also, you can include the St. Louis Cardinals here, and I hate to mention this to JQ, but I'm going to say the Cardinals are a winner just because they got 13 games left against the Reds this year.
Hey, watch out.
I mean, obviously they're not going to catch the Cubs, but I mean, but they have a great chance of moving up into a wild card spot just because they have 13 games to go against the Cubs. But I still like against the Reds, but I still like the Cubs in the representing the National League in the World Series. The team that you would have thought would have done more were the Houston Astros. They've been knocking on the door of the Rangers. They really weren't able to get much done. So, obviously, that's a big loss for them, not being able to get a whole lot. Also, the Mets, you would have thought that they would have tried to, you know, come back off of the season they had last year. And even the Dodgers, they couldn't get Cole Hamels last year, and so they missed out. They couldn't get LaCroix or Mike Trout this year. And so they're another team. They're second place in the National League West. And so also you got to include them in the losing categories. They've just been missing out on some trades here 2 years in a row.
JQ, the floor is yours.
Yeah, he covered a lot of me, though, but I love what the Rangers did and Beltran LaCroix. That was huge. Just before I move on, you know, it's been a turbulent, you know, root for Jay Bruce as a Red. I'm a little sad to see him go. I'm more sad that we didn't get that we had to settle for Herrera, but he was still in the Futures game, so they didn't get totally fleeced like they've been getting fleeced. I have to say, I do like the Dodgers getting Rich Hill and Josh Reddick from the A's. Josh Reddick is going to be a big bat in that lineup, and I think that'll help them out. And if they can get Rich Hill to be who they think he can be, he's been a little injured, but he may give them a boost. But they got to get Clayton Kershaw back. If they don't get Clayton Kershaw back, then it doesn't matter. And then the Giants, real sneaky, under the radar, getting Matt Moore from the Rays. He was thrown out there a lot in this deadline. They stuck and got him right there at the wire. So I'll give them a lot of credit. But, yeah, I really do think, you know, the Indians and the Rangers just went ahead and separated themselves in the American League. And and one final one, and it's kind of flown under the radar because he's been having a tough year, but the Marlins getting Cashner from the Padres. And you pair him with Fernandez in that, you know, at the top of that rotation, and they got all those young studs in that lineup, you know, around Stanton. That NL East is still winnable. You know, the Mets tried to get a bat in Bruce, and we'll see how that works. But he's a corner outfielder, and they got a ton of corner outfielders now. They don't have a center fielder. And you look at Washington; they have the pitching, but if you just don't pitch to Bryce Harper, you know, I would make everybody else in that lineup beat me. You got the Braves, who, you know, like you said, they got a number of games against the Braves. You say that about the Reds; you got to say against the Braves. I'm sorry, Andre, but our teams are terrible. So I like them kind of sneaking in under the radar with that deal. He plays in that big old park, so he doesn't have to worry about, you know, going to like a small park like Cincinnati where you give up a lot of home runs on that are normally just fly balls. So I kind of like that one too as well. It just flew under the radar. I didn't get a lot of love, but that may turn out to be a very strong piece of putting him in the two slot behind Fernandez.
Good calls. You know, it seems like the Yankees are – you know, raising the white flag, man, kind of doing the fire sales, as Rob said earlier. Good call, JQ. I think that it's all about building that farm system up again. We talked about last week with Chapman going, and just everything kind of is interesting as far as a lot of the dominoes starting to fall. I'm going to say thanks, JQ, about the Braves comment. You know, we knew what we were getting into this year. But very, as a Braves fan, I'm very happy to get Matt Kemp. Now, maybe he's not the same guy that he was, you know, before, but he had a guy that just – he loved the Braves as a kid, man. You talk about bringing somebody that's a locker room guy. We bring some finally some right-handed power to that lineup, man. I thought that was a great move. I know, Rob, you probably don't care about that since you talked about the Padres earlier. But Great move, I think, you know, because we got rid of a problem player in the Hector Oliveira. So, I mean, you talk about getting something nothing, man. I'm ecstatic about that trade. So, thumbs up from that perspective, too. And then also we got a young guy, too, a Travis Demerit. He was on the Futures. He's another second baseman power guy. You know, you probably didn't know about him unless you're like a Braves fan, too. So, I'm excited about that. So, the future looks a lot better than the current for the Braves. But the good news is that there's hope on the horizon, too. So, anyway. That's all I got from that perspective, too. So, you know, you can talk about that later. Good.
Another nugget, even from the Yankees. Don't be surprised if they just outright release Alec Rodriguez, too, here coming up soon.
That's
something don't be surprised here. I mean, they're ready to move on as an organization. They want to get younger, start fresh. So don't be surprised if you see that move as well coming forward.
Speaking of that, worst trade in Major League Baseball history, Rob. What's your thoughts about this?
Well, I mean, obviously, if you're a Braves fan, you got to be very happy about this trade. But it was the San Diego Padres trading the crime dog to the Braves back in 1993. And none of the prospects turned out to do anything for the San Diego Padres. Obviously, the crime dog was a good bat for the Braves for many years during that run where they were winning the NL East year after year after year in the 90s. That was the worst trading deadline trade where the other team just got nothing in return. None of the prospects turned out to be anything for the San Diego Padres. I remember Tony Gwynn was furious over the trade and, you know, back in those days as well. And he was like, how can you make this kind of trade and we get nothing in return? And going way back to 1993. The crime dog.
Crime dog. Hold on before you talk about the JQ. Interesting enough, I think that the crime dog, he was part of the Yankees organization at some point, either as a prospect, something that I thought there was a story about that. And Steinbrenner was actually upset at the fact that his scouts didn't keep him, and he, like, fired everybody. There was a story about that, how that was kind of interesting, kind of tied to the Yankees, too. But, you know, Crown Dog, you talk about a guy just turned out to be one of the greatest players, sluggers in our – not greatest players, one of the greatest players in our history, but just a great trade as well. What are your comments about that, JQ?
Yeah, that one's pretty bad. But, I mean, I was looking and just to try to see if I could find the other ones. And the Cubs, way back in the day, trading Lou Brock to the Cardinals.
Oh, wow. That was a Hall of Famer.
Right,
yeah.
for nobody. I saw that one and said, that one's got to win. You can't trade Lou Brock. You know, my word. I mean, what he did just speaks for itself. So, yeah, the Fred Griffin was good, too. But once I saw that one, I was like, wow. I did not know that. I assumed the Cardinals had drafted and shaped him all the way through the system. No, I'm trying to look here to find the year that was, but I can't see the year for it, but it was 1963.
And wasn't Babe Ruth traded for like a bunch of balls?
You was about 5 or 6 years
like
old on that trade, weren't you, JQ?
Hey, watch out, bro. Watch out. good luck. You get here one day.
But wasn't like Babe Ruth traded for something like kind of insignificant too, like for some a bag of balls or something crazy
balls or something crazy.
I don't know if it was a trade deadline trade, but yeah, I remember it.
But I got it for trade deadline. But it is kind of crazy too. But we'll circle back around. All right, good stuff.
I tell you another one on a lesser scale too. The Yankees trading Jay Buhner to the Mariners at trading deadline. And I mean, that was a time when the Mariners had some really good bats with Jay Buhner, Ken Griffey Jr., and that was another one that I remember George Steinbrenner was not happy about, and based on what he got back in return from Seattle. And a little bit on a lower scale, but that was a bonehead trading deadline trade as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one for you there, Dre, before you get off of it, the Tigers sending John Smoltz to the Braves with Doyle Alexander.
Yeah. So I said, you know what, that's another one too, man. We thought about, man, there were so many, man. We can talk a whole show about that. I mean, you know, people probably don't care about that. But, yeah, there's a lot of trades. That's a top end. Popple, man, we ended up trading for, like, Chipper Jones, you know, back in the day. There's a lot of good trades, man, that just didn't, you know, execute or, some, you know, people that it just kind of blows my mind, too. But I remember that. That was another one, like, Doyle Alexander for John Smoltz, man. That's
John Smoltz.
Craziness. Yep. All right, so we've got about
– the Braves came in on a better side on a lot of those trades, seemed like.
Sure did.
Yeah, man, we were for some good stuff, man. I'm not mad. I was a huge fan of Churls at some point because he did a good job of kind of building that team. Now it's kind of different. Just everyone's kind of balancing out. But he struck gold a lot of times, man. So kudos for building this up, being the team of the 90s too, kind of, you know, we didn't win except for one freaking World Series. But it's all good. It's all good. So let's talk about this. This is JQ's boy, Draymond Green. He was posing the picture of his junk, and he actually hit the wrong button. That's what he said.
That's what he said.
Official line stepper. But I don't understand, you know, how you would sit there and you would kind of like position yourself and just accidentally hit the wrong button. So JQ, maybe you can shed some light on this, bro.
Yeah, you took my words. Habitual line stepper. You got both his heels on the line. His toes are firmly over the line. I don't know what's going on with him right now. My thing is, why are you even putting yourself in that position to have your draws down with the camera there to take a picture of your junk to even hit the wrong button? Like, what are you doing? Why is that a good idea? I mean, he is feeling himself to the utmost level. You know, he's starting to fight on another dude's girl in the club, and you know, and he's slanting. He out here taking pictures of his, you know, of his balls and sending it out over Snapchat. It's just, I don't know what's happening with Draymond Green. He's like the new age Dennis Rodman combined with Charles Barkley. He's just doing stuff. Like, I just don't get what's happening. And he's gonna figure out in a minute. They ain't gonna keep taking too much of this bad publicity with him acting up. I don't care how much they say they love you, they will get rid of you if you keep acting the fool.
Rob Ford.
Well, you know. It's kind of, I mean, I don't know what else to say about that.
Right,
I mean, the dude, like, hitting other guys in the nuts and, like, taking a picture of his own nuts. I don't know what's the deal with Draymond Green, man.
No, he is clouded.
Yeah.
He needs an intervention.
You guys said it best. He's a habitual line stepper. And
he,
you know,
have
both, you know, he liked playing with other people's nuts, liked playing with his own. So that's all I'm saying.
He's climbing.
Mm-hmm.
To D'Angelo Russell's, where's D'Angelo Russell whenever you need him to kind of, you know, help him out?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah,
oh,
D'Angelo
man.
Russell's like, yes, thank you. I don't care. D'Angelo Russell's somewhere clapping, like, please take that pressure off of me.
Wow.
You know, I'm gonna go on a little tangent because, you know, ever since social media has kind of like hit the airways, like there's been more to get people in trouble. I mean, back in the day, if I did something like in my generation, you know, I didn't do something stupid like post it on, you know, social media, man. We had stories, things we did, they're myths, you know, like remember we did that? Yeah. We didn't take pictures of it, you know. There's some things that we did, like remember we did that? Yeah, you know, but nobody's going to say, hey, let's take a picture of this.
It's that social media,
like
social
that.
Media
yeah.
age now.
It's just crazy, man. So I would take a lesson and just don't do anything stupid. Because even if it goes, because he thought it was probably going to, it's probably going to disappear after 10 seconds, something crazy like that. But stuff like that, it's somewhere. It's hosted somewhere in the cloud, wherever. No one knows what that mess is, but it's somewhere. So Draymond, you nailed it on the head, JQ, doing stupid stuff, man. They will get rid of you eventually,
yeah.
man. So you better shape up, man. So, you know, and Rob, you crack him up, the nutsack over here. Anyway, let's keep moving. Let's keep moving here. We got to talk about the Olympic Games in Rio. So, Rob, a lot of things discussed about this is right on the cusp of that. So, go ahead, sir.
Well, yeah, we got the opening ceremonies this coming Friday night. That should be exciting, obviously. You know, there are some concerns with the Zika virus and Rio. Rio is a city I've always wanted to visit. Obviously, I'm putting that on hold right now. But so definitely looking forward to it, looking at some of the pictures from Rio, beautiful shots, beautiful scenes. There are some concerns with security and whether or not some of the facilities up to par in Rio. Mm-hmm. So hopefully they'll get everything up and ready by the time this coming Friday. Even just yesterday, I believe, the Australian Olympic team had to be evacuated because of a fire in their facility. So I'm hoping that they'll get everything together, that this will be a successful Olympic for them down in Rio. Just a couple of things to look for here in the Olympics. You know, I don't know if a lot of our listeners know the name Simone Biles. She's a three-time world champion, a gymnast, and looking to be fabulous here in the Olympic Games as well. She's expected to win quite a few gold medals for the American team. And so, yes, that's a name to remember. That's a name to look for. Mary Lou Retton even said that she's the greatest gymnast of all time. The 19-year-old. Yeah. Three-time world champion. She's definitely somebody to watch and look for here in these Olympics. Obviously, the USA men's basketball team will be one to watch. I think this team is going to be very dominant, even more recent than the last couple of teams. Not that they're better than the last couple of teams, but the competition has gotten weaker. So this team will be really – and this is a really good team, by the way. We've got some really good shooters on this team, which is really good for international competition. And so look for this men's basketball team to be extremely dominant. Spain is not as good as they were in the last Olympics. France might be a team to watch, but they will. This team should win every game by at least 30 points. The competition has actually dropped off from the last few Olympics, so they will be very strong. In swimming competitions, obviously Michael Phelps is back. Look for him to be very successful again. And Ryan Lochte, they will lead the force for the men's swimming team. So those are just a couple of things to look for from an American standpoint in these Olympics.
JQ?
Well, I guess the brothers is all watching the Olympics for the same thing because he took all the points I was going to make about what I was looking for the Olympics. He went right down the line. I mean, honestly, I don't really have a ton to add to that. I was going to say, for the most part, I'm looking to see what Simone is going to do. I didn't hear that Mary Lou Retton had said that about her. But I also saw Johnson when they were at the trials, and Simone Biles winked at her during her routine. She said, I can't believe she's out there killing it. She's winking at me during her, you know, while she's trying to qualify for the Olympics. That's how ridiculous Simone Biles is. I totally agree. I think the USA men's basketball team should walk. There's a women's swimmer, and she's due to set some records too. Is it Chrissy Franklin? I can't remember her name off the top of my head. I'm sorry. But she's dominant as well. So I'm looking forward to see if she can kind of keep up, kind of take that torch from, you know, what Phelps did in London and try to kind of replicate down the women's side here in Rio. But outside of that, Rob totally hit it. I think we'll all be watching on the same days, clearly.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Let's talk about the next thing, fantasy football. Rob, right around the corner, man. Exciting time. So go ahead, sir.
Oh, yeah, really quick. Obviously, we got three fantasy football leagues again this year. Last week, I mentioned some dates on the air. We tweaked those a little bit. And league number one, the fantasy football draft, is going to be Tuesday night. That's going to be August 16th, Tuesday night, August 16th. And league number two is going to be Sunday night, August 21st. And league number three will be Sunday night, August 28th. Those are the draft dates for our fantasy football leagues. So we're looking forward to that again. Should be a lot of fun. It's an exciting time of the year. Make sure if you got any questions to email us with any thoughts or comments regarding the draft. Let's have some fun again.
Anything you want to add to that, JQ?
Absolutely. I hadn't looked at it, Rob. I just was wondering, do we have any empty slots open or are they all filled up for all three?
As of right now, they're all filled up. But but if we get anybody that want to drop out, obviously we'll open it up to our listeners or friends again as well.
Yeah, not much to piggyback on that. I'm ready to get it going, man. There's only so much I can watch of a Law & Order rerun special, as you know. I got football in my life.
mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, football camps are opening, too. We're going to talk about that as well, man, speaking of football. So let's kind of make a nice transition into that. And word on the street, we talked about some things happening. Tom Brady did get his suspension. He's not going to fight it. And apparently he's still going to be working out. I don't want to act like we're going to be pissed off like your boy whenever you ask about certain questions, but he's going to work out with Kevin Fogg, Wes Welker, Randy Moss while suspended. Anything you want to say about your favorite boy there, JQ?
Not at all. I wish we could stop talking about him. I wish we could stop talking about him. Talking about somebody that ain't going to even play for four games. I mean, yeah, it's over with. I don't care if he works out with the Pope and Jesus. Well, maybe not Jesus. But I don't care if he works out with the Pope. You know, I really just don't care, to be quite honest. You know, go work out and see you in week five.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. The Pope and Jesus. Oh, man.
If you're a first-time listener, obviously JQ is a huge Patriots hater, and so
yep.
So we want to apologize to our listeners in the Boston and Hartford, Connecticut, and New England area. Please continue to listen to our show.
They don't care. They got four rings. They don't care. They're used to it. They know they're the villain. They are the villain in the NFL. The same way Golden State is going to be the villain in the NBA. So, they're the villain. They got to embrace it at this point.
Make sure y'all still send me some of that good chowder up there in New England. Send me some of that chowder.
Still talking about food.
all the time.
Basically, Tom Brady's thought process with this was that he wanted to work out with some guys just that were familiar with the Patriots playbook to try to keep him sharp until his suspension is over with. So that's basically what his thought process was on this. And from my understanding, they say Randy Moss is still in tip-top shape. And it should be and these guys are all willing to work with Tom Brady while he's suspended. So, and that's basically what Tom Brady's thought process was on this, to try to keep his game sharp for when he returns. And if you look at that Patriots schedule, their first four games, other than going at Arizona, they should win three out of those four games. They're not going to be really set back, without him, as you would think. I mean, I think it'll be hard to go at Arizona and win without him, but I think those other three games are very winnable games for him, even without Brady.
And you know what I just thought about? Those are all ex-Patriots, so another wrinkle to that is they all probably still know some of the plays. So they're going to not only just be out there working out, they're probably going to be running some plays to help keep Tom Brady sharp. It may not be all the exact same plays, but, you know, they can still go back into the day where they were in the huddle together and run some of those plays. So
absolutely,
it's smart. I don't care, but it's smart.
Yeah, that's exactly what Tom Brady was thinking. These guys know the playbook, and they can keep him sharp as well.
Mm-hmm. Tom Brady, not only is he smarter than us, he's better looking than us, and he gets everything, man. So he's going to win. All he does is win, man.
Well, he might be better looking than you, but he's not better looking than me. But.
Hey, that's why I'm with you. I ain't going to admit to that.
Yeah, it's all funny. That was something. That was a text from somebody that is a huge Boston fan that I know. That's part of my circle here. It's hilarious. She's a girl, by the way, so she loves some Tom Brady. Anyway, Rob, we got about 2 minutes and 40-something seconds, and we'll talk about Junior Gallette and his Achilles, and let's talk about that. So, anything you want to talk about this, and Jake, you can wrap up, and then we'll talk about the OT. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, obviously, this is a big blow for the Redskins losing Junior Gallette, second straight year. They're trying to get some additional help on the pass rush there. It's another big blow to the Redskins. I mean, obviously, this is a team that went to the playoffs without them last year, and it might be a little bit better this year. So who knows? We'll see. I like the Giants to be a team that can possibly compete with them in the NFC East this year. And it's another big blow to them. But like I said, they made the playoffs without them last year. And just really quick, we're going to be going into our OT portion here. We still got some NFL. I know we got a lot of topics. We may not get to them all on this week. The ones we don't get to, we'll try to save them for next week. But we still got a lot of NFL. We got some college football we're going to get into in our OT. So this is definitely an OT portion you want to tune into. Since we can't give it to you live, definitely click on the same link to all of our football fans out there. We got a lot of great stuff that we're going to give you in our OT portion, so you don't want to miss this. Tune in on tomorrow. Continue to follow us on Twitter and Facebook, people. JQ.
Yep. And you're probably looking at the end of his career, because if you're not available, they won't keep you on the roster. And even class to be able to come back from back to back to the it's tough to do, especially when you can't that kind of way of playing the suspension. So I hate to hear that, but I saw that news today while I was talking about the Redskins and we're just throwing with after getting dusted by the Sean Jackson and Sheriff Hall. Ooh, that's not good. If you can't do those, you're going to go to OBJ twice. So, come on, guys, you got to get together. But everybody, appreciate you for tuning in and talking to us. And, I'm sorry about the Jesus. I'll take that back. If you practice with the Pope, I wouldn't care. But with Jesus, I would be there for it. But please download the podcast and listen to the OT portion. And we'll holler at you next Monday. Good night.
Oh, man.
JQ is the devil.
Somebody's texting right about now, man. I don't know about that JQ character.
You got hate in your heart. Let it out.
Oh, man. It's crazy. First show of the year. All right. So, once again, as we eloquently spoke, we talked about trying to swing into the show.
Once again, follow us on Twitter, Facebook, all that good jazz. So we are officially getting ready to jump to the OT portion. And let's talk about Stevie Johnson for the Chargers. And this is kind of sad. I mean, you always hate to talk about some injuries early right now. He's going to have knee surgery on his torn meniscus. How is that going to affect the Chargers in your vantage point, JQ? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, to be honest, Stevie Johnson hasn't been, you know, Buffalo Bill Stevie Johnson when he was calling out Chad and TJ for a while now. Yeah. But I still hate to see that for him. And honestly, I don't really think it's going to move the needle that much for the Chargers anyway. I think they're going to be a dumpster fire. I know Phillip Rivers had to be upset with the Bosa pick. You know, he's running for his life back there, and he don't really run real fast. And they didn't address it when they could have with a top tackle. So, for me, I just don't think it was really going to make that big of a difference. He's no longer that, you know, 1,100-yard receiver that he was for those couple year stretch in Buffalo. He was on the downside if you've been paying attention to him. And I know you guys have fantasy-wise. So I hate it for him. But, again, I just don't think it moved. I don't think him healthy moved the needle, and him losing him, I don't think really moved it that much, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's a good call. And I don't think Joey Bosa has been in camp at either from him. I don't think he signed a deal, too. That's interesting, too. So that's
a whole other conversation, too.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. That's something that's pretty interesting from that perspective. You want to get him in camp as soon as possible. I don't know what's holding that up, but you better get in there. That's kind of, you know, I don't want to talk about people's money, but that's a huge blow as well.
Come on. Yeah. You're slotted. You're going to make the money you're supposed to make due to the slot and the new CBA rules on it. I don't understand. I know the offset language with the guaranteed money, but yeah, he's tripping for that. You haven't done anything yet in the NFL. You get your butt in the camp, Brooke, and keep your head down and work and stop being a prima donna. And I love Joey Bosa as a Buckeye, but
yep.
I can't excuse what he's doing right now.
Yeah, go ahead, Rob. Your thoughts, sir.
Well, yeah, totally agree on the Joey Bosa situation. Now, obviously, as JQ mentioned, yeah, all the rookies are slotted now like they are in the NBA. There's no reason for a holdout. That is completely ridiculous. Now, getting back to Stevie Johnson here, as JQ also mentioned, he hasn't really done a whole lot since the Buffalo days. Decent slot receiver with the Chargers, thinking about 600-some yards receiving, about 4 touchdowns last season. They still don't know how serious the injury is, so there's a chance that he may be back early in the season and offer some kind of contributions to the Chargers organization. But I agree with JQ. I know we're going to probably get into our AFC West predictions, but a little teaser, I'm picking the Chargers last.
So you're saying
way to go
chance.
Out on a limb.
So Cardale Jones is kind of off to a shaky start, and this is something that, I mean, I thought pretty highly of Cardale, and JQ, you know, I'm coming right to you, man. So are there any thoughts about this? Yeah, I mean, because just no? Okay, go ahead. I was going to let you have the floor, man.
Yeah, it's – I don't know what's going on with my Buckeyes making give me all this bad stuff to talk about here tonight. But if you really paid attention to him and watched him, his accuracy was really never good at Ohio State either. What he could do best was truck a couple of defenders and get an extra couple of yards on 3rd and 4 to keep the chains moving, and he could throw the ball deep. And you never could take that from him. But everything in the middle, and that's why he lost his job back to JT last year, is that he just is not an accurate passer. He needed to go somewhere with a very strong offensive-minded head coach and a strong, you know, quarterback coach / offensive coordinator. He needed all the right tools to be in place to help him with his mechanics first. And when you got E.J. Manuel struggling, a bust, and they're still quibbling with Tyrod, but Tyrod is still not a classic drop-back passer, so you don't have that person in camp with them really to teach him what he needs to do. I love that he got drafted, but going to a defensive-minded coach with a dual-threat quarterback who's not a classic passer, but I think that was also a detriment to him. He needed to go somewhere. He needed like a Doug Peterson or something like that, or Andy Reid. He needed somebody like that to help develop him. And I just don't think he's going to get that in Buffalo. I think his name will always give him another shot if it doesn't work out in Buffalo. But unless they change, you know, staff, organizational-wise, with what they do on the opposite side of the ball, I just don't see it really working out for him in Buffalo. I don't. I hate it. But I think he needs somebody stronger, a support system to refine those mechanics.
Cardale needs the QB whisperer. Go ahead, Rob.
He does.
Well, yeah, I'm hearing his accuracy is so bad that every time he steps on the field, the reporters are looking for somewhere to hide because he knocked a cell phone out of a reporter's hand 20 yards off the field.
No.
That's how bad his accuracy has been in practice. So, obviously, the talent is there. He's got the physical tools. He's got the strong arm. He's got the athletic ability. And so it's just winding, you know, it's just trying to figure out if someone could, you know, coach up his quarterback ability, reading defenses, things of that nature. So, obviously, he's still a work in progress. He's a young kid. We'll see. I'm hearing that this is escalated talks between the Bills and Tyrod Taylor to get a long-term extension done to keep him as the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills. And so I hear those talks are escalating to go ahead and get that deal done with Tyrod Taylor.
They should have done that anyway.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I was gonna talk about that as well, but I totally lost my train of thought too with your boy. But that's okay. We'll keep moving here. Let's talk about Arian Foster. He dominated his conditioning test, so that's pretty good for Arian, right? Right, Rob.
Well, yeah. I know we talked about it in the show. I believe it was last week or the week before. But based on what we're hearing from the Dolphins, they're raving about the shape that Foster is coming back off of that torn Achilles from last year. Straight up dominated his conditioning test. This is a guy that always stayed in great shape. He's a vegan, by the way, as well, as far as as far as eating is concerned. But from what they say, he just pretty much destroys the conditioning test. So there's a chance. I mean, if he comes back to be the old Arian Foster, that could be a big help to this Miami Dolphins organization.
Yeah, your thoughts, Jake?
Yeah, and it set up so nicely for him, especially with the departure of Lamar Miller to Houston. They weren't really sold on after last year. His name is Ajayi, the running back they took. So he has the ability there to ascend, I think, early in the season to that starting role. And if I'm Miami, I'm praying that he does. I think Tannehill needs his smarts and his blitz pickup and his receiving ability out of the backfield as well when he needs to check down. So I see Arian Foster actually staying healthy, because we know that's been his bugaboo here in the past couple of years. But staying healthy, I could see him being a really good sneak contributor for the Dolphins and to one of our fantasy teams, to be quite honest. Somebody's going to take a flyer on him a little bit later in the rounds, and they may mess around and get a gem. He may end up being your best back on your fantasy squad. I think Foster is in a good situation for him if he can stay healthy.
I concur 100%, JQ. That's a great call, man, because if he's back to his old self, man, I mean, I think Houston needs to get healed. I mean, I think maybe Houston, I'm not saying they pushed him or rushed him back, but give him some time to, you know, just literally just get healed. And that's all they were kind of missing, is having that dominant running game. So the Dolphins are in a great situation, man. That defense is going to be good. Having a veteran like Arian, even, man, like you said, I agree 100% that this is a great pickup if he's anything like his older self, if you will. So hopefully he won't get hurt. Those injuries won't be a problem as well. And let's talk about whenever we're talking about Tyrod Taylor, I was thinking about Ryan Fitzpatrick, what happened with the Jets, and Geno Smith wasn't happy. But that's the first thing that I thought about when we were thinking about that. But needless to say, there is
Geno's hilarious.
Yeah, Geno, man, he was pissed. Like, what do you think, man? But you didn't do anything, man.
Yeah.
So Ryan came back in, you know, so it is what it is. But there's optimism, JQ. You want to talk about that, the new deal in Buffalo, because of, unfortunately, Cardell. So, again, I'm kind of leading up for you, sir, to talk about that, sir.
You want to talk about Tyrod or talk about Fitzpatrick?
Yeah, Tyrod, my bad.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, and we talked about that. We had talked about that before last year towards the end in the offseason, where they were saying they weren't sold on it and they wanted them to play it out. And then I said it then, and I'll say it now. I thought that was just terrible language to say out to the press as a GM about your young quarterback. You want to be building him up and not tearing him down. And yeah, he missed some games injury-wise last year, but he still did his part. When him and Sammy were both healthy and out there, they were dynamic together. So I don't think they should lose sight of that. And I think he was on the ascension of it. I'm not privy to what his work ethic is or what he has happening, but I saw the production on the field, and I saw Buffalo take a step forward. And if you want to really put a culprit on that Bills team last year, it was that defense that did not generate enough sacks, that wasn't always strong against the run. And you're looking at Rex Ryan like, this is your forte. We brought you here for this. And you're really the liability. It wasn't Tyrod Taylor. It was that defense. So I didn't understand why he hadn't done it yet. And if he has a big year, you know, go talk to the Redskins about what they had to do with Cousins from, you know, from 800,000 to 19 million. You know, you're going to say you're happy with your production on the field, but then you're going to be mad behind closed doors. You have to give him this crazy jump. Can't come to a resolution, and you and Cardell's not panning out, and you're looking to draft another quarterback, our franchise, Tyrod. So it's in their best interest to get it done.
Got about 5 minutes. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, yeah, we talked about this a little bit. Obviously, Cardale Jones, as we mentioned, his shakiness has kind of kick-started them to go ahead and locking them down here as well. And obviously, Tyrod Taylor is not a franchise quarterback. Well, let me rephrase that. He's a starting quarterback in the NFL, but he's not the kind of guy you want to put the franchise tag on. And so, obviously, the Bills do not want to be in that position. For having to do that on next winter here, as far as the franchise tag is concerned, they have to get this deal done before the season starts.
Yep.
Good call. All right, gentlemen. Like we said, we got about 4 minutes here. We're going to be trying to be concise here. We're going to preview the AFC East here. We're not going to take too much of Robert's thunder here, Rob. I'm going to give it to you, man. The AFC East here, the Bills, Dolphins, Patriots, Jets, we're right on that. So go ahead and kick it off, Rob.
I'll go through it really quick here for the sake of time. I still like the Patriots to win this division, even with Tom Brady out the first four games. I expect them to go at least 3-1 on those four games. I think Bill Belichick's still the best in the business. He will figure it out. I've been wrestling with second place between the Bills and the Jets here. The Jets have a really tough schedule starting off the season. I'm going to go with the Bills. I think they're going to be much better front seven on defense. They have some playmakers on the perimeter. If they get, you know, keep Tyrod Taylor happy, I'm going to make a surprise prediction and go with the Bills at number two, Jets three, Dolphins will bring up the rear.
JQ.
I got to go with the damn Patriots, and I don't want to. But I agree with that, and I know that the Jets, they do have that rough early schedule. I think I'm going to put the Bills in fourth. I'm still not quite sold on Rex Ryan. He does a lot more talking than his teams do producing for the most part. And I wrestle with it because I think Fitzpatrick gives the Jets the best chance to win. They still have a solid defense. They're a solid team, but that early schedule is brutal. But if he can guide them to 2-2, he's still got those weapons, you know, out there with Marshall and Decker. And I got burnt last year going with the Dolphins, and I like that Dolphins team, what we just talked about. They've got a lot of offensive weapons. The defense isn't bad, but I just can't put my trust in Tannehill yet. So given what we talked about, and I totally agree with Rob. I can see them going 3-1 and win that division for the upteenth time in a row again.
Good call. All right, I'm trying to see if we can fit this in. Can we fit in the preview for the AFC West really quickly?
We can make a quick analysis.
Jill, you got
2 minutes.
Go ahead.
What are you talking to?
Go, Rob. Yeah, let Rob go,
and
then you can wrap it up.
Oh, AFC West. I like the Chiefs. I think this is a talented roster. I know Eric Berry is still holding out, but he'll be back by the regular season. This is an extremely talented roster. I think Alex Smith gets it done. They have talent. They're deep at the running back position. Jamal Charles, Scar-Kendrick West, Spencer Ware, they're extremely talented. I don't even think Nile Davis is going to make the team. That's how deep they are at the running back position this year. So I like them to move ahead of Denver. Denver's still shaky at the quarterback position, and they lost some key players on defense. I still think Denver will be good, but they won't be great. I got Denver in second place. Oakland, I think, is knocking on Denver door. They could be. I think they'll be a very close right behind Denver. Oakland will be number three. And as I mentioned earlier, Chargers will bring up the rear.
Go ahead, JQ.
Real quick, I'm going with the Broncos still because we saw Trent Dilfer take a dominant defense and win a Super Bowl. I think that you can get that out of Sanchez or Simeon. I just do that defense is going to be dominant. I'm going to go with Oakland second. Great strides, and I love that young nucleus. If they ever get Murray to get his head on fully straight, he's talented. You put him with Carr and Amari Cooper, and that defense has actually gotten loaded. I'm going to go with them second. I think the Chiefs take a step back a little bit. It depends also on Barry. I'm not really sold on Alex Smith. He's a manager and not a game changer. And then again, San Diego, they're a dumpster fire.
I'm going to go with Chiefs, Raiders, Broncos, Chargers. Rob, end the show.
Next week, people, Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, we're going to get to the ACC and SEC. I promise we'll get them done before the season starts. So sorry we didn't get to it tonight. Tune in next Monday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific. Don't miss it. Next Monday night, people. Good night.
Woo-hoo,
yes, sir.
Thank you.
I'll let y'all later.
Thanks, people. We'll talk to you soon. See you same time, same